We are beginning a new series, a short one, this Sunday, and it is called Born to Give Us Life. And the first passage that I want to read to you as a part of this series is from 1 John chapter 5, and it's just two verses, verses 11 and 12. Hear the word of God. And this is the testimony. God has given us eternal life, and this life is in His Son. Whoever has the Son has life. Whoever does not have the Son of God does not have life. This is the very word of God. Would you pray with me? Father, these are powerful words, and I pray over the next few minutes as I attempt to unpack them, that anything that comes from my own mind would be quickly forgotten, but what comes from your heart would not only be remembered, but would be applied and would serve to bring change to our lives. I ask this in the name of your Son, Jesus. Amen. You may be seated. As I said, the title of this series is Born to Give Us Life. And the idea here was that we just celebrated Christmas, where God took on flesh, moved into the neighborhood, pitched his tent, if you remember me talking about that. And oftentimes we have this sense that once we celebrate Christmas, we give this huge sigh of relief and we just put it on autopilot until we get to Lent and looking forward to Easter. I want to try as I might to connect, as Heather said, Christmas to Easter in a little bit more significant way. And one of the ways in which to do that is to examine how is it that Jesus' birth gives us life? How is it that the cradle and the cross matter together? You see, the birth of Jesus was just the beginning. And what he brings to us is significant, and it's something for us to consider and apply. You see, Jesus came with a mission and a purpose. And this mission and purpose was for us. And if it's for us, we should be paying attention to it. So he is born to give us life. It's a strange term, isn't it? For when a baby is born, he's not, or she is not born to give someone else life. A baby is born to give itself life. So it seems odd that someone would be born to give someone else life. Yet that's exactly what Jesus Christ has done. But he was born to give us life. We think we know what that word means, but it bears a little further examination. I know this sounds silly, but if I were to ask you, how do you know you're alive? What examination would you give yourself to determine this? I got a pulse. That's one way to do it, yeah? I'm breathing. That's another indicator. Perhaps you're like the 17th century philosopher René Descartes. I think, therefore I am. My mind's working, so I know I'm alive. But we all know that we can have a beating heart and breathing lungs and an active mind and not have much of a life. And this reality is something that the Greek language in the New Testament differentiates for us. There are two different words for life in the New Testament. One is called bios, and the other is called Zoe. Bios is pretty easy. It's our physical existence. It's where we get the word biology or biography. Now, it is our beating heart. It is our breathing lungs. It is our working mind. But then there is Zoe. Zoe is the vigor and the purpose and the vitality and the dreams and those things that are so difficult to describe when we say someone is fully alive. Our bios is our flesh and blood. Our zoe is our soul and our spirit. God created both of them. So please understand that I'm not trying to draw a thick line between them. And this is not dualism in any sort. But when we think about it, God created our bodies, our bios, and God created our zoe. We worry a lot about our bios. But I don't think we worry too much about our zoe, do we? At least, not enough. We care for our bios. We wash it, and we feed it, and we clothe it. Sometimes we put makeup on it to make it look better. We exercise it. We take it to the doctor when it's not doing well. We even insure it. What kind of attention do we give to our zoe on a regular basis? Both are gifts of God. But I venture to say one gets disproportionate care compared to the other. So for the next few minutes, we're going to give zoe a little attention. And I will begin in verse 11, where John says, God has given us eternal life. One of my favorite movies, for obvious reasons, is The Way. And The Way charts the journey of folks on the El Camino de Santiago, a trip that Debbie and I took not too long ago. And before the journey takes place in the movie The Way, a son is arguing with his father. Because the son has just dropped out of graduate school, and the father doesn't know what kind of life he's going to have. And the son is very disappointing to his father, and yet the father is disappointing to his son as well. So they're having this argument in the car. And the son says, "You just want me to be like you, but I don't want to be like you." And the father says, "Hey, I've made a pretty good life for myself." And the son says that classic line, "Dad, you don't make a life, you live it." God has given life to us. We didn't make it. We don't make it. It is a gift. Zoe is possessed by God, created by God, owned by God, and yet given to us, his children. What are you supposed to do with a gift like that? God says very simply, receive it and enjoy it. Receive it with gratitude and delight in it every single day. We don't do so well with that, do we? We think about Christmas just past. You likely received a gift or two. How did you do with gratitude and joy? Did you delight and were you grateful for every gift that you received? I hope that you were, for at least some of them, very grateful and delighted and enjoyed those gifts. But my hunch is, if you're anything like me, a lot of those gifts you were moderately thankful for, and you enjoyed them just a little bit before you set them aside, or maybe returned to the store to get another gift that you hopefully would enjoy a little bit more. So gratitude and enjoyment are not things that come very easily for us. Neither does accepting something for free. Because we always think it might be too good to be true. There's a unique aspect to this gift of life that God imparts to us or gives to us. He says it is eternal life. God has given us eternal life. Most of us think eternal means forever into the future. And you'd be right, but you'd only be half right. Because eternity is forever in the future and forever in the past. We don't often think about it that way, do we? Forever in the future and forever in the past is what eternal means. So, it is without end or beginning. Our zoe stretches back forever and forward forever as well. This eternal life, the reality of eternal life, has two distinct characteristics. Number one, we don't make it. And number two, it's not dependent upon our bodies, our bios. Rather, it is dependent solely on God through His Son, Jesus Christ. So, put another way, eternal life isn't in us, naturally. It's in Jesus Christ, and it's given to us. That's a tough one for us to understand sometimes, but I think the Apostle Paul puts it well in Galatians chapter 2 when he says, I no longer live, but Christ lives in me. His life was not his own. He was bought and paid for through the work of Jesus Christ. And so this concept of eternal life is one that we need to get our minds around. We can't make it because it existed long before us and it will exist long after us, our life in this body. It is created and owned and given by God alone. And we can have it. Now, what does that mean? Well, we can have it if we have the Son of God. It's a strange passage in verse 12, isn't it? Whoever has the Son has life, and whoever does not have the Son of God does not have life. Have can communicate a lot of different nuances, can't it? You can have a dollar. You can have a cold. You can even have a realtor. But the nuances of have in all three of those circumstances are different, but they do have one thing in common. When you have something, as John Piper says, it does its thing for you. So to have a dollar means that you can purchase something that's worth a dollar. To have a cold means that you are experiencing a runny nose and a stuffy head. To have a realtor means that you have someone who can buy and sell a house on your behalf. So to have something means that something does its thing for you. So to have the Son means that the Son does His thing for you. First of all, who is the Son? The Son is Jesus Christ, the second person in the Trinity. And if you have the Son, He does His thing for you. He gives you Zoe. And how He does this is a really long list. He pursues you with an everlasting love. He rescues you from death. He saves you from your sin. He justifies you. He redeems you. He sanctifies you. He adopts you. And the list goes on and on and on. He has loved you since before the world was created and will continue to love you forever. If you have the Son, anything that infinite love, that infinite wisdom, that infinite power can do for you will be done for you if you have the Son. So the next question becomes, how do we have the Son? It's important because the second part of verse 12 says, whoever does not have the Son of God does not have life. Cannot possess Zoe in any way, shape, or form. So not everyone has the Son. And it's important to know why. God, for His purposes only, that we do not understand, and His wisdom and His glory, chose to save some and not others. We don't understand that. It's not our capacity. It's not in our capacity to know this. What God says is most important is that you know how you have the Son, not why you have the Son or don't have the Son. How is it that we have the Son? It's not a complicated thing. God makes it very clear throughout the Scriptures. It's implied, actually, in the very next verse, in verse 13. John says, I write these things to you who believe in the name of the Son of God, so that you may know that you have eternal life. To have the Son of God is to believe the Son of God. Another way to put it is, the Son does his thing for those who trust him. Jesus Christ does his thing for those who trust him. You can have the Son if you trust the Son. He makes a free offer, and you trust him, and then you have him. It's not any more complicated than that. Now, to have this eternal life in Jesus Christ, most of us would agree, I want that. It's a good thing. And I want to spend more time thinking about Zoe and perhaps a little less time thinking about Bios. But there's some realities in my life that demand that I think a lot more about Bios than I do about Zoe. You see, this wonderful notion about Zoe from forever past to forever future seems a bit mystical. Doesn't seem very practical, very useful for what we're going through right now. It's a fascinating concept. We'd dwell on it a lot more if we could, but you have stressful jobs. You have difficult lives that demand your attention. Sometimes your money is tight, your body is sick and failing you, or it doesn't look the way you want it to. You're tired. Oh, you're tired. All the time, we're tired. The world is chaotic. There's plenty of things to worry about. Natural disasters. Disasters politically, disasters at work, disasters in your neighborhood. There's all kinds of things that put enormous stress on our bios, and we have to be attentive to them day in and day out. So I get the Zoe thing, and I believe in Jesus, but I can't spend all my time thinking about that because it's not useful for me in the moment. This is a very common argument among many people who are just trying to keep their head above water. I have a simple question for you, but it's probably a complicated thing to think about. Where is the center of forever in the past and forever in the future? Where is the middle of eternity past and eternity future? Right now, it's the best I could come up with. Maybe not. I'm not a physicist. But for me, the middle of forever past and forever future is right here and right now. He who has the Son, and this is what's so important, this is what connects Zoe to Bios every single moment of every single day. He who has the Son has the ability to take on trials and difficulties and stress and turn it not just so that we can be survivors in the moment, but so that we can be more than conquerors, as Romans 8 says. Those who have the Son are more than conquerors right here, right now, in our bios and in our Zoe. They are connected. It is who we are in this moment. Which means all of our tribulation, God can take and turn it for our good. Isn't that amazing? You don't just escape the enemy. We win. We are victorious over the trials in this life because we have the Son. It matters to our daily stress. It matters when our bodies are failing. It matters when we're worried about money. It matters in the grand scheme of all things happening. Zoe isn't just a mystical idea to ruminate on. It affects us right here and right now. So to be more than a survivor, to be more than a conqueror in the battles of life right now, you must have the Son. When you do, you have all of the omnipotent powers of God at your disposal. You don't make a life. You live the life that God has given you through Jesus Christ. There's nothing for you to make because it's already been made for you. All that we must do is receive it with gratitude and with joy. You think about it. If someone bought you a brand new Ferrari today and gave it to you, no strings attached, would you park the Ferrari in your yard and go into your garage and try to make something better? Would you? That seems like foolishness, doesn't it? Why, if we are given eternal life by the God of the universe, would we want to make something different? Just get in and drive it. Enjoy it with gratitude. Live with abandon. That's what's ours in Jesus Christ. Those are two great words that I want to leave you with. Gratitude. To live with gratitude means every single moment of every single day, we are thankful for the eternal life that God has given us through His Son, Jesus Christ. And this heart of thankfulness changes our outlook in everything that we do. But the second is the joy and the delight that this eternal life can bring to us. We are not just survivors. We are more than conquerors. We don't just muddle through our day. We live our lives to the fullest because that's what we've been given. It's ours for the taking. So give thanks and live it with abandon. You can't make a mistake. And some of you are saying, wait a minute, what? This life that God has given you, if you are pursuing it with all that you have, how can you make a mistake? To be grateful, to recognize daily this Zoe that is yours, to exercise its power, to delight in its freedom, means that every day you are pursuing the very heart of God. And if you're pursuing the very heart of God, you may make some decisions that are questionable. You may go down a path that you're wondering how you got there, but you can't make a mistake because you are in the center of God's will. That's what Zoe brings to us. So leave this place and live your life with gratitude and with joy, and resist that temptation to make a life, because it will never be anything like having the Son and the eternal life that is with Him. Will you pray with me? Father, some of us just need to hear that simple word, that to have your Son is to have life. Perhaps we need to go home today and just take out a white sheet of paper and list all of the things that having the Son means to me. What is it that Jesus does? What is it that Jesus promises? What is it that Jesus has accomplished on my behalf? Because all of these relate back to what your Son has done for us, and how He does His thing when we have Him. Father, now we come to this table, your table, where you have invited all who have trusted Christ to come and to dine, to take and to eat and drink, to celebrate the life that is ours, that you have given us. So we take just a few moments now, Father, to confess in our own hearts the sin that blocks our communion with you, that drags us down, that prevents us from experiencing gratitude and joy. In another portion of 1 John, he says, if you confess your sins, you, God, are faithful and just to forgive us our sin and purify us from all unrighteousness. So we come to this table utterly dependent upon your grace, upon your mercy. We come with glad hearts as we worship now in this meal. In Jesus' name, amen.